Pastor Jack left me his sermon, just in case, and so he really meant to be here, and he loves doing this, and you know, writing something new week after week and delivering it—that's really a discipline. And so he really applies himself to this congregation that way. And you know, I read this thing in Luke, and it's always striking: mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Yeah, there's been so many jokes made about things like that, and it's really unfortunate that in blending families that there's that tension. What are you going to do? We're imperfect. So most of humankind throughout the ages have longed for peace and harmony in their lives. They talk about it, they strive for it, fight for it, and pray for it. But there always seems to be those who interrupt the process of peace and harmony because of self-interest, power, greed, their own twisted pleasure, maybe. How many wars have been fought causing loss of life and devastation to so many, so that a few may gain more power, fame, or perhaps greater personal wealth? How often are the people who actually fight the war told that theirs is a noble cause, for it will bring peace? That is like saying poison, perhaps arsenic, does not kill. The tragedy is that in so many cases, those in power create situations so bad that the only solutions seems to be warfare. There are also those who just thrive on causing trouble and dissension, wanting to make life miserable for those around them. We probably all know, or perhaps experienced, one of those people in our lives. We see that in cyberspace, social media. There are people they call trolls, but to everybody they are known as troublemakers. They just cannot see life beyond being the center of controversy and turmoil. Peace and happiness are beyond reality for them, for they seem to thrive and live for being miserable. Success for them is to make everybody miserable, all those around them. Because as the saying goes, misery loves company. We try to avoid them at all costs, but they seem to keep cropping up, for they are an inescapable reality of life. Therefore, we welcome and applaud the words of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Such soothing words to our ears, for they are words we long to hear. They are words from Jesus, who is hailed as the Prince of Peace, for he was looked upon as establishing the kingdom of Israel as the center of future of restored peace. His life and message is generally seen as the epitome of all that is good and peaceful. His life was the example of good over and against evil. But we call the Good Shepherd. But wait a minute. All of this seems to be shattered by what we heard from Luke this morning. All of this Prince of Peace and blessed are the peacemakers, that stuff comes down in a thundering crash. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. So what is this? Jesus, a troublemaker? Well, he's not only a troublemaker, but a troublemaker who admits that he is one. Is he the troublemaker that has caused all the strife and turmoil in the world since the world was created? How in the world can someone who is seen as the ultimate good also be a troublemaker, causing what we consider to be evil? He admits that he will cause divisions among people of this world. Heat would even cause what would appear to be loving families and relationships to have feuds among themselves. He would be so divisive as to cause parents to go against their children and children against their parents. Is this the message of a loving, forgiving God? Is this the message that we want to hear? Is this the message which gives fuel to the lies of all those who desire to create turmoil and war? If it is, how could I have been misled for all these years? There just has to be some mistake made by Luke. Jesus couldn't have been made such a statement, for it is not like him to do so. At least, that's what I would like to believe. As hard as it is to believe this, this is probably one of the most believable passages in the Gospels. Jesus in this passage is not relating some kind of ivory tower existence of life. He's being absolutely realistic. He's being so truthful that it may hurt. There's a total understanding of life and human nature in what he said. Regardless of what we may desire or wish for, regardless of all the good intent which we may have, regardless of how peace-loving we may be or want to be, the mere fact that we are human beings brings different realities in life. We cannot escape the fact that there is not only good in life, but evil also. The hard and difficult reality to accept is that good and evil will always coexist, not only within life in general, but within our own life. This coexistence of good and evil, by its very nature, are opposing forces and will always be at war with each other. Each is powerful, and each will try to control life, even over our own lives. The struggle between good and evil for the control of our individual lives is very real and can never be escaped within our moments here on earth. We are the battleground in which these two opposing forces fight. When we allow evil to succeed and choose to follow the victor, we bury the defeated. It is by the victor that our lives will be judged by others. But Jesus says that we will not only be judged by others, but ultimately by God. This is the fire which Jesus says he is bringing. We are all immersed, baptized, if you will, into the life of good and evil, and thus are judged according to the outcome of that battle of good and evil within us. But Jesus said the true reality of judgment of fire was yet to be revealed. His baptism was yet to come. The meaning of Jesus' life and message is the answer to that judgment of fire. Until that time of revelation, the cross and the resurrection, Jesus admitted that his life would be under extreme stress. The stress would be that the people would have been left in this state of a fiery judgment, for they would not know God's ultimate grace, which would be found in his baptism. But even with that final good news of God's gift of extended grace for all to know, life here on earth would not be a bowl of cherries. In fact, because of that good news, life would still experience divisiveness among people. The battle between good and evil would now become even more pronounced. To have strong convictions and beliefs naturally can bring conflict with those who have differing beliefs. We see this in play all the time. Jesus' illustration of bringing divisions within families would have been true in his contemporaries, for his many teachings and acts were contrary to the law-centered Jewish religion. Those who followed Jesus and believed in him would find that they may have become outcasts for not following Jewish traditions. Families would have become arenas of turmoil and divisiveness. But Jesus' words would also become a prophecy of the future. Christianity did create turmoil in families as Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire. It became Christianity against Roman paganism and traditions. The breakup of families that resulted became an extreme concern for the authorities. They saw how Christ's followers were so devout that they came into conflict with other family members who held the pagan gods and Roman traditions. They saw this breakup of the family structure as a threat to the continuance of the empire itself. Therefore, this added to the fuel which drove the persecution of Christians. Strong beliefs and convictions are no strangers to conflict, war, and divisiveness. History is a witness to this. Just look at the many religious wars which have bloodied the face of the earth. We need not look beyond what is going on in the Middle East today. The more extremism of beliefs and convictions that seem to cause the bloodier the outcomes. The reality is that mankind cannot get beyond the conflict between what is conceived to be good and evil, for the ego of self is always involved. This may cause us to not be able to see the handwriting on the wall about what our decisions between good and evil may cause. We're not able to project what the path that we may be following will bring, not only to our next moment in time here on earth, but more importantly, for life after crossing the threshold of death. To deny the reality that life is a constant struggle between good and evil, peace and strife, love and hate, is to deny the need for a living and forgiving God. It is to deny the fact or the reality of the cross and resurrection. Yes, the life of commitment and conviction in Jesus may bring turmoil in our lives, but it also brings a peace to us beyond all that the personal and collective peace treaties can provide. To have this commitment in the life of Christ is to know that inner peace of the reality that God's grace will ultimately prevail. To have this commitment in Christ is to be able to win the battle between good and evil, and thus actually experience being the peacemaker who is blessed. Amen.